Jesse James, still trying to make a name, knowing nothing's gonna change what I am.
Final hour of the program here on a Friday with Vax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar.
So I got to say, there have been breadcrumbs laid out all throughout this morning's show.
Yes.
Upper management and Morgan Thomas have both been trickling in George Strait music all morning.
Yes.
The announcement is official. George Strait is coming to Clemson and Death Valley on Saturday, May 2nd, 2026. So thank you, Ben and Morgan, for laying out the trail of breadcrumbs.
What's the date on that?
Saturday, May 2nd, 2026.
And it's the summer. Country music with warm weather. Wow. It's just...
Well, May is not the summer, but we'll approach it. At least not the first week.
Is May the summer? Is that summer or spring? That's a weird in-between month.
Still spring to me.
I never... Like, my birthday was either always on the last day of school or, like, right after the last day of school or before the last day of school. I'm not really 100% sure what to do with... The end of May feels like summer. Maybe it's not summer at that point.
It's already hot enough.
Yeah, it's already hot. It's more of a spring. I think we might have to give John the point on that one.
June 21st, by the way.
There you go.
Okay. So June 21st is when summer officially starts, I guess. So.
Thank you, Morgan. Thank you, Morgan. I've had a couple more trips around the sun.
Summer versus school, I feel like that's where their things get cloudy. And Ashby and I are a little bit younger. We'll bring in Ashby Mixon here from the Clemson Insider and more. She's on the road to however many followers on Twitter, at Ashby Mixon. She's taken any and all handouts on Twitter if you'd like to give her a follow. But Ashby, thanks for joining the program. For the younger generation with less trips around the sun, is May summer?
First of all, I appreciate you saying the handouts people are giving me on Twitter. It's very kind of you. Secondly, I was always really jealous of kids that got to have pool parties for their birthday. If it was warm enough to have a pool party for your birthday, whatever date that is, that's when summer is.
Okay. I think that's a fair takeaway.
And that's normally not May 2nd.
And that's normally not May 2nd. May 2nd might be right around the cutoff. I do think it might be spring, but warm weather and country music, those directly coincide. For me personally, I can't listen to country unless the weather is warm outside. I'm like a six-month-a-year country listener, and then the other 6 months, that gets just completely shunned out of the rotation. Does this logic make sense?
Yeah, it's like country music is to the summers, Michael Bublé is to Christmas for me. Like,
okay.
It has to defrost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
John, do you share that viewpoint, or are you more of a year-round country guy? Or are you not a country guy?
I am not much of a country guy. Okay. My wife is very much into country music, so I listen to country music when I'm in her car.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or when she has control over the Bluetooth speaker.
Is she a George Strait fan? Will she be at the concert?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, she's already asking me, how are we going? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
We'll figure it out. We'll see if we can get you hooked up with some tickets. Texter gets in and says it's South Carolina. It's summer 8 months a year. At least it might feel like it. Goodness gracious. I'm still waiting for it to cool down a little bit for us. But ladies and gentlemen, we do have some football to talk, so let's head into that.
Because it's not summer. There's football to be played.
There's football to be played. It's October 17th. Number 17 might be QB1 tomorrow. And the Briarwood Lions have their legacy on the line. Ashby, I'm going to give you the floor here to give a little bit of a personal background as to why this is an important weekend for you.
Well, guys, last week was the Ronan Hannafin Bowl, right?
It was.
You had about 200 Hannafin family members. This is going to be the Briarwood Lions, the Christopher Vezina, the Ashby Mixon legacy game. Because, guys, Christopher Vezina was my high school quarterback back in Birmingham, Alabama, several years ago. And look, 4 years later, looking like he's going to be my quarterback again. So excited to watch CV for sure. I think he's gotten a lot bigger since he was in high school. I think his accuracy is better. But when I tell you there is weird deja vu going on, it's going to be crazy. Go Lions, everyone.
It's going to be crazy. It's a big weekend for Ashby. It's a big weekend for potentially Christopher Vezina. Again, Cade Klubnik, as of right now, listed as questionable on the availability report. Heard William Quackenbush say yesterday he's not anticipating Cade to play, to be completely candid. I'm not anticipating Cade to play either. That's my opinion. That is not anything that's confirmed.
Same
and I just
here.
Want to make sure that we're given that this is an opinion and this is speculatory. Nothing is confirmed yet via the availability report, but we are bracing for the reality where Christopher Vezina is the starting quarterback this weekend against the Mustangs. So let's hop into the game. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in and get in some questions for John, Ashby, or myself. Ashby, let's start on the defensive side of the ball since we'll have plenty of time to talk CV17, and I guess that's his nickname, that and baby Josh Allen. But defensively, Clemson has a chance to impose their will physically on an SMU O-line that has been good, not great. This is not a run-centric offense. They really rely on Kevin Jennings to play some hero ball. What are your thoughts on Clemson's defense and how they're going to fare against Jennings in that Mustang O?
Absolutely. I think you do have a benefit because you have seen him. And even though they have 40 new players, at the end, their game plan and their offense is pretty similar in how they operate. And I think that, you know, Clemson's defense is coming off the best game of their season, and it's not even really close. I think you're back home. You have some momentum going for you, and you know you're probably going to need to play really well to get a win. So I think this is going to be extra juice for them, and I can see it being a really good game. I can see a lot of getting to the quarterback happening soon.
Yeah, and it feels like, John, the defensive line has been playing better and better football as the season has progressed. Stephylan Green's a big part of that, but Peter Woods and T.J. Parker have really upped their quality of play as well in recent memory. Are you expecting Clemson to have that game-wreck type ability this upcoming weekend on the defensive side of the ball? You think those big boys up front are going to show up again?
I sure hope so. I think they have the opportunity to. I think this will be the first time we've seen this defensive line since they've kind of recalibrated after the bye week, if you will, some of the big-name guys. I also think this is the first time that we have seen, after the two games, we're at home, right? Like, that home crowd, if it is more like it was against LSU than it was against Syracuse, and I'm not trying to take a shot at the fans against Syracuse. We all felt that way that day. We all felt that way. I wasn't in the building, but we all felt that way. If the Valley is fired up, then I think the defense can almost rally together and get home up front. Because if T.J. Parker plays like he has against in the last 2 weeks, yes. Peter Woods plays like he has the last 2 weeks, yes. Green, hell, all those guys, absolutely. But we haven't really seen it at home yet.
Yeah.
Need to see it at home.
Need to see it at home. And Clemson has been lackluster for their standard at home as of
very
late.
Very much so.
And they need to turn Death Valley back into Death Valley, as Sammy Brown said this week during some of his pressers. Ashby, before we shift gears to the offensive side of the ball, what were your main kind of takeaways from the press conferences this week? I know you did an interview with Jaheim Lawson, and you talked to players and coaches, and there was some definite trolling going on in the Jaheim Lawson interview. Well, y'all were talking about a whole lot of different things in that one. That was pretty funny.
I had to cut off about 4 minutes of me and Jaheim Lawson talking about Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Fruity Pebbles. So hard-hitting journalism going on
yes.
that day for sure. But on a real note, the conversation about playing at home was a big point of emphasis for the players, for Coach Sweeney. He said, you know, the goal has always been in my tenure to be great at home, and we have stunk, and they have. They're trying to avoid losing their third consecutive home game for the first time since 2001. That means it's been 25 years, and they've been in this position. And I don't think this team, I don't think the leaders on this team want to see that happen, and I don't think anybody wanted to see the Syracuse game happen, but here we are, and if there was a chance to turn it around, you have momentum, you're going to have the fans back on your side, don't think you're going to get booed this time. This is the time to do it, and
yeah.
So that was a big point of emphasis for sure.
And then offensively for Clemson, I think that directly plays into your success on the defensive side of the ball as well. When you look at the way that Clemson has started the game in the last 2 weeks, it has been defensively having a strong start. You haven't given up touchdowns on either opening drives, which is always a positive thing. You got a 3-and-out, and that really seemed to energize the offense last time out, regardless of who's playing quarterback, Ashby. It feels like the offense really feeds off of the defense, and that's kind of the whole concept of complementary football, right, and what we've been looking for from Clemson throughout the course of this season.
I was going to say, if I had a dollar for every time I heard the word Dabo Sweeney say complimentary football since I've been in college over the last 4 years, I'd be very, very rich at this point. And over these last two games, it's the first time you've seen it in a long time. The defense has been giving the energy. They've been winning the field position battle. And you know what? That's really helped the offense, and it's given them opportunities to have short drives and be able to score. And so I think the defense is going to end up controlling this game and giving the offense a chance to win because – you're going to need all the help you can get, especially if Cade can't go.
Yeah, going to need all the help you can get. And then defensively as well, John, it goes without saying, Clemson has to stop the run if they're going to win this football game because that's not the identity of this SMU team. And if they're getting 4, 5, 6 yards of carry, it's going to be a long day in Death
Valley. Rinse and repeat Syracuse.
Yes.
Rinse and repeat Syracuse. A team that came into the game could not run the football. They were only relying on the pass, and they ran right down your throat.
Yep.
If that happens again tomorrow,
you're losing.
Not only that, I don't think you're going to win a home game the rest of the way because it's clearly this team just shows up better on the road than at home if that is what
yeah.
transpires.
For sure. Offensively, let's talk about the reality with and without Cade. With Cade, he's clearly going to be limited if he plays.
Sure.
So QB run's not going to be a big priority. You would think that the ball needs to get out quick. Without Cade, I still think the ball needs to get out quick because with Vezina, Pierman, whoever we may end up seeing, we are tending to believe it's going to be CV17 at the helm for the Tigers tomorrow in Death Valley. It feels like getting them comfortable early in the game. And I know it sounds like we're beating a dead horse here because that's important for Cade too. But for a first-time starter, starter, that's even more important to get him a screen pass, get him a quick hitter, see the ball go through the hoop early, and just say, okay, chill out, bro. Like, this is your first career start. We can take a deep breath. You've been doing this since high school. You need to get him comfortable early in the game and get him acclimated.
Yeah, and I think that's going to have to happen as well, because SMU's first in the ACC in sacks and tackles for loss, but they're last in pass defense overall. So what does that tell you? That tells you he's got to be able to get the ball out quick, be able to hit those layups, be able to not feel pressure in his face immediately. It also makes me worried about Cade not being able to scramble, get out of stuff if he's going to be stationary if he plays. So I think you got to be able to make him feel comfortable in any way that you can.
Texter gets in and says, if Cade plays, it needs to be a 2QB game plan. We really are going full-blown Buster Faulkner if that's the case. This weekend, if there's a 2QB game plan implemented, 6-5-4 Roar if you want to get in. And for what it's worth, though, 6-2, I don't disagree with you at all, brother. If 2 gets out there tomorrow and he tests that ankle and he feels like he's ready to go, I still want 17 and 14 on the bench mentally, like they are the starting quarterback ready to be inserted into that game at any time. And I'm hoping we see both of them, to be completely blunt, man. Pierman can freaking play. Pierman can freaking play, and he can spin it. So if we get a chance to see Trent Pierman tomorrow, I'm definitely excited for that as well. But I think it's all hands on deck. The main goal, I don't care if it's me, you, or Ashby playing quarterback. Tigers need to get a win tomorrow at home and protect Death Valley.
No, absolutely. They need to get a win at home. And I think if you are – I think he needs to be ready to play. But I think if you're trying to instill the confidence of a young quarterback for his first career start to get everything out of him you potentially can, I'd maybe not be telling him that, hey, man, if you screw this up, 14's coming in.
Yeah.
But
there is an element of that on both sides.
You may be telling yourself that to the coaches. Like Garrett Riley may be communicating that with Dabo and Grisham and so on and so forth. But if I'm messaging that to the individual player, I would probably frame it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And maybe I would tell Trent something a little different than what I'm telling. But, you know, like, I'm telling everybody what they need to feel the most positive about themselves going into this game.
Playmakers getting the ball in their hands in space. That's a big key for me tomorrow for Clemson, regardless of who's playing quarterback. We've seen another gear kicked into by Bryant Wesco Jr. this season, Ashby. Who are you anticipating to be incorporated offensively tomorrow for the Tigers at skill positions?
Absolutely. I think you're going to see a lot of Bryant Wesco Jr. I also think you're probably going to see a lot of tight end action, if I had to guess. I think you're going to see some of your favorite facts in Christian Bentancur, also Pat Henry, a lot of those guys. I could see them getting going in this game. But, yeah, you said it. Bryant Wesco Jr. is taking it to a whole nother level. He is looking to me like one of the top three best wide receivers in the country right now.
Yeah,
and has carried, to a degree, this offense at times.
He's playing elite football right now. And John, my guy Dustin Black tweeted something out, and I wholeheartedly agree with him. His ball tracking skills are unbelievable. Like, for young wide receivers, usually you see those over-the-shoulder catches are going to throw him for a loop. With Wesco, it's like he's got a radar internally where he just knows where the football is, and he knows how to go locate the football and spear it out of the air. There's something about that, John, at wide receiver. You can't teach that. That's an intangible ability.
No, it certainly is. But what worries me, he's been fantastic. I'm not trying to push back what anybody has said positively about him. I don't know if, like, his ability to track down the fade, if Vezina is starting, is going to come into question in this game.
Yeah. It's a different quarterback throwing the ball.
Unless it's, you know, from, like, the 20. But I'm not asking, Krister, we talked about this earlier with Cole on here. I'm not asking him to drop back there, take a five-step drop, and throw a 25-yard post or throw, like, a 40-yard fade. I'm just not asking him to do that. Now, if we could ramp up to that in the course of the game, all right, then that's great, because that means he's hitting everything underneath and you feel confident in it. But, like, in the first quarter, no, I'm not. I'm trying to run the football and establish everything. You know, we're going to try to go 5 yards at a time.
Yeah.
Quick hitters. I'm just going to slowly, methodically move the ball up and down the field.
And I'm not going to say that Vezina is limited, because I don't think that's fair. I don't think we've seen enough of him as of right now. But going into the game with the expectation that you're going to be more limited than you typically are at quarterback is the way I would frame it. You need to micromanage down in distance like Buster Faulkner does at Georgia Tech. You need to treat this like you have a Wildcat guy playing quarterback, and it's like, okay, how can we get to 3rd-and-2 and 3rd-and-3 so we have the whole playbook accessible to us? You need to avoid must-pass situations tomorrow if you're Clemson. And that's even with Cade Klubnik in there, because he's going to be stationary if he plays. He's not going to have that creation ability outside of structure that he typically possesses, and they're going to pin their ears back and try and get after the quarterback regardless of who Clemson plays at QB1. It is imperative that you micromanage down in distance and put your quarterback in a position to succeed on third down in third and medium or shorter, and don't get yourself pigeonholed into those must-pass situations, Ashby.
Yeah, if you're dealing with third and long every single time. I think it's going to be a long day for the Tigers. You can't have that kind of situation. We've seen that be such a struggle in the first several losses that they had, was you felt like you were always dealing with third and long and second and nine, third and eight, and all these kind of situations. That is not how you put Christopher Vezina or Cade Klubnik in a chance to play a good game tomorrow. It's really not. You've got to figure out what to do to get into short yardage situations. I think that deals a lot with Adam Randall. I think that deals with maybe Keith Adams Jr., maybe some easy. I don't even know. But I think you're going to see a lot of bunch of different running backs tomorrow, too.
It's going to be intriguing to see. A lot of people are texting in on the Adams Co-Roofing text line about a stacked box and expecting to see a lot of that for SMU tomorrow against Clemson. I agree wholeheartedly, but with a stacked box means opportunities for playmakers to make plays one-on-one on the outside, and there's going to be a couple opportunities tomorrow, regardless of who's playing quarterback, where those DBs that are kind of shaky get left on an island. There's going to be chunk plays accessible. Executing. That is the word of the day for Dabo Swinney. Every day he wakes up, you got to find a way to execute at a high level tomorrow in the passing game, and I think you're going to have a good chance to win it. Ashby, before we let you get out of here and get back to it, score prediction and game prediction for tomorrow inside of Death Valley.
You know what? My score prediction and my game prediction have shifted a little bit in the last couple of days. However, I still think the Tigers are at home. I think they were riding a good streak of momentum. I think they get it done. I really do.
Okay.
And I think that you're going to see some Carrot Riley coaching chops tomorrow, that's for sure. And you know what? I think it's probably going to end up not being as high scoring as I thought originally, but I'm going to go Tigers 24-17 to get the dub and move on with their third consecutive win.
That's Ashby Mixon. Ashby, where can everybody at home check you out on social media?
We're on the path to 300 followers on Twitter at Ashby Mixon, and all my stuff is on the ClemsonInsider.com if you want to give it a read.
Love that. And listen to Overtime with Ashby right here on The Roar at 7 p.m. every Wednesday. Doing a great job with that, Ashby. That's Ashby Mixon from the Clemson Insider. Thanks for joining the show today, as always, on Fridays.
Thank you guys so much.
Of course. Quick break here with Faxon and John. We're rolling through our pick'em, then we're shifting gears to NFL on the other side. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in.
Fans, you know this. Football season is in full swing, and I got to tell you, the best place to get in on all the action is Underdog. I've been enjoying Underdog for over a year now. I've gone all through every sports season, and I got to tell you, a football weekend is just not complete without just a little taste of Underdog. This week, I'll be playing college and pro, and it's the easiest thing in the world. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like passing yards, rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and so much more. And if you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash, which is just bonkers. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus funds or entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Tiger fans, it's football time. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's ELKMONT tradingcompany.com. Go Tigers!
Cash Pop from the South Carolina Education Lottery just turned up the fun with bonus instant wins waiting to pop. Now when you play, you can unlock an instant win on top of your regular Cash Pop prize. It's easy. Pick a number from 1 to 15, choose your number of draws, and see where the light takes you. So what are you waiting for? Cash Pop bonus shines through January 3rd. Get more details at sceducationlottery.com.
Did you know that Ingles sells a huge variety of organic items? Or that they run their own dairy? Or that they only serve USDA Choice and Prime meat? Did you know that they have more local craft beer than any place else? Or that they have Energy Smart stores? Or that they professionally slice and package imported cheese from Europe? Did you know about their giant international aisle, local farm partnerships, curbside pickup, wine department, or that they donate 3,956 meals a day to local food banks? Well, now you do. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Some sandwiches are good. This one, it hits different. Meet the roast beef and cheddar, stacked with savory roast beef, crispy onions, and sharp cheddar cheese, all stacked up with bold horseradish sauce. And now, it's toasted. That means hot, melty goodness in every bite. Roast beef and cheddar. Bigger, bolder, toastier. Only at Jimmy John's.
It's time to drink pink at Palmetto Distillery in Anderson. All month long, Palmetto Distillery is donating a portion of their sales of pink drinks and pink flavors to the Roars Tigers for Tatas campaign. So what are you waiting for? Join them at one of their trivia nights, live music events, or just drop by to check out their ready-to-drink cocktails, moonshine, or sippin' creams. Drink pink at Palmetto Distillery all month long to give back to Tigers for Tatas, 200 West Benson Street in Anderson.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
Did you know State Credit Union now offers the same services big banks offer? Services like online account opening, online loan applications, mobile banking, remote check deposit, person-to-person transfers, electronic signatures, and more. All with better interest rates and lower fees than the big banks. Check them out today and see why over 600 people per month are joining State Credit Union. Visit them online at scscu.com. That's scscu.com. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for football all season long.
And this is big boy football.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar on a Friday. Live from Chick-fil-A in Clemson, we remind you, get all of your tailgating needs Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Chick-fil-A of Seneca. Nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, delicious cookies. Nothing goes better with Clemson football than Chick-fil-A on game day. So head on over to ilovechickfil-a.com and get yourself some tailgating trays for tomorrow. John, we have not a lot of time and we have a lot of games to discuss right here on the program. Tennessee, Alabama is where we're going to pick up in our contest, and then we've got USC, Notre Dame, Utah, BYU, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and we'll give our Clemson pick to put a cherry on top. Let's start in Tuscaloosa after a quick phone call.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to go to the rest of our games, but before we talk about high-level Power 4 games that are going to be some of the best athletes in the sport and some of the best coaching staffs in the sport and you know, a lot of teams with the little numbers next to their names. Yeah. I want to bring our friend Daniel in Texas in here to talk about the other games that are going to be going on this weekend that are not going to be deemed of quality. Daniel, how are you doing this morning, and what are our Cover Our Eyes games of the week?
Good morning, fellas. Hope you're having a great week, like the rest of us.
Absolutely. Having a great one, Daniel. Hope you are as well.
Yes, sir. Well, our first game is going to be, again, in the MAC, because the MAC is just terrible football. We have Akron playing at Ball State.
Ugh. Why?
Well,
why are we doing this?
Because someone up there has to play football, and the Midwest has to watch something since Penn State and Ohio State and all that's either really good or really bad. So,
yes. You're right. I just, ooh.
That's terrible. That's terrible football. What's up next for us, Daniel?
We've got Georgia State at Georgia Southern.
So we have that's awful.
Some northern football and some southern football going on in your Cover Your Eyes games of the week.
Man, so if Georgia and Tech is clean old fashioned hate, what do we call State and Southern?
I don't even know.
I don't know if I can say it on
air. I'm a native of the state, and I don't even know. I was
why I posed the question to you. The winner gets Kennesaw? Like, is that what we're calling this thing?
I guess. Winner gets Kennesaw State.
I think they honestly would call that run the dang ball game.
Yeah.
I think you're spot on with that.
Free my boy Dylan Gary at Georgia Southern. Coach is giving him no PT. We need to free him. That's my only agenda in this game is give Dylan Gary the ball. He had like 1,800 yards last year at West Georgia. Free him.
West Georgia, what a pool. Facts, what a pool. West Georgia. Well, I think Clemson with Cade wins 42-17. Without Cade, I think we may lose, but I'll say we win 24-17.
Okay, I like that, Daniel. And I hope any quarterback and all quarterbacks produce and yield a win for the Clemson Tigers tomorrow. That's where I'm at on the QB situation. We appreciate you checking in, as always, with our Cover Our Eyes Games of the Week. And take care of this weekend. Watch some good football and watch some bad football, Daniel.
Sounds good. Y'all too. Go Tigers.
Of course. Thank you, Daniel. Always enjoy that segment from Daniel in Texas on the program. And John, there's some bad football on the television this weekend. There always is, and this is why we bring Daniel in, because he's scouring for what the worst games of the weekend are, and it's very, very much appreciated.
I like outsourcing this, because yes. I don't want to have to dig through the bottom of the trash can every single week, so yes. Thank you, Daniel, for doing the work for us.
Anytime you can outsource is a great thing. All right, back to our Pick'em contest. We've got five games left. We're going to try and get four of them in this segment and save the Clemson one for the final segment. So let's start in Tuscaloosa. Tennessee's on the road visiting Ty Simpson's Crimson Tide, who are playing like one of the best teams in the country right now. I picked Tennessee in this one. You also picked Tennessee, I see. I think we got some really good closing line value with the 9.5 number. I still think there's a chance we lose this pick.
Oh, I definitely think there's a chance we lose this pick. If Joey Aguilar is not ready for the moment on the road, that's how we lose this pick.
Yeah.
But I think this Tennessee team is scrappy, man. I like the identity of them. I like the way they play. I like the way they're playing together this season. It seems to be a fairly unified bunch.
Yeah.
It's a lot of points. And I don't think the way these teams have played that there is a huge amount of separation between the two of them. I think Alabama's the better team. They got the better quarterback. But I think Tennessee can hang with them here. And the emotions of the last couple of weeks, like, I just don't know how many times can Alabama continue for this to be the biggest game of the season every single week?
Yeah, they've had to get up a lot.
Right, right. You had the Georgia game, then you had the we can't lose to Vanderbilt again, and then you got up to a nice early lead against Missouri, but Bo Pribula and that squad fought back. Like, I still think Alabama wins this game, but I would like Alabama to win by, like, three. Like, I think this is more of, like, a 38-35, like, 34-31 type of a football game.
Tennessee has played three SEC games. They have played three competitive shootouts. I am going to project a competitive shootout. I am going to project them to keep it within 10. I think Alabama wins the game by 7, 3-7, 33-30, 35-31, something. We're on the same wavelength, yeah. And I think we have the same read. Can't wait to be wrong on Monday. USC's at Notre Dame. We both have got the Fighting Irish in this one. Again, we're in the might. Wait, really? 8 people picked USC? Okay, so it's...
At the Roar?
Yeah, it's me...
Like our co-workers?
Yeah, it's me, you, Kwok, and Ramona, and everybody else is on the Trojans.
It's a lot of points, to defend...
It is, and they're ranked, right? Like, they're a good team, but...
Oh, yeah, no, I just... To me, this is a prove-it spot. Because I have no problem getting this pick wrong, because then that means Southern Cal has done something that they haven't done in the Lincoln Riley era,
which is go
on the road and
win
beat
a big
somebody
game.
Like this.
Yeah, they have
across multiple time zones with somebody who I think is better than you in the trenches on the lines of scrimmage. That will be a massive, massive win for Lincoln Riley and this program. You knock Notre Dame to 4-3; they're basically out of playoff contention.
Yeah,
but a 6-1 Southern Cal, we need to start having conversations about them at the top of the Big Ten and potentially.
Yeah.
No, you're still waiting on Ohio State or Indiana to drop a game till you're really in line to make it to Indianapolis, but this is a huge prove-it-to-me Southern Cal game. If they answer the call and they go on the road and win, I have no problem backing this squad the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think this is a playoff type of game for both of these teams, meaning Notre Dame's eliminated from the playoff if they lose it. USC has to be pretty much flawless the rest of the way if they lose it. So this is, it's a playoff game, it's a playoff feel. I trust Marcus Freeman in this spot. I think Marcus Freeman is a really good coach still. Obviously, a guy that went to the national championship game last year. They, you know, I would say stumbled off the runway at the beginning of this year with two losses, but those losses have aged very, very well, and it's just very, very good football teams that they've lost to. Until they lose to somebody that I feel like is worse than them, I'm going to pick them to win every game the rest of the season. So give me Notre Dame.
When I'm looking at Southern Cal, so let's say they go on the road and they win this game. Just kind of walk this out a little bit. Do you feel good about Southern Cal going to Nebraska?
No.
If they beat Notre Dame?
No, I still don't feel
good. You still don't feel good?
I don't think that team travels well.
They don't think they go to Oregon and win?
I would take USC at home over just about every team in the country bar 5 to 6. On the road, there's 20 to 25 teams I would take over Southern Cal.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. Like, I think the travel for this team and this coaching staff is almost more important than it is for other teams. Heck, they went to Champaign, and they could not beat that Illinois team. I don't know. I've got the Illinois loss in the back of my mind where their defense folded down the stretch after Maeva and Lemon carried them back into the game, and I don't think the team travels well. So I don't feel good about this team on the road at all, John. That's kind of where I'm at. Maybe I'm overvaluing the home versus road. Maybe I'm not.
I don't either, but I think this is a prove-it game, because if they do come out and they do answer and they go into South Bend in a night game and win this thing, then I think we need to potentially think about changing that narrative.
Okay.
That's why this game is so intriguing to me from a Southern Cal standpoint.
Okay. That is definitely. I'm trying to visualize a Southern Cal win and Lincoln Riley getting the primetime interview, and I just can't do it. Give me Notre Dame by a freaking trillion.
By a trillion? I don't know about that. I would take Southern Cal to cover a spread of a trillion.
Utah's at BYU. This one, I love Utah preseason. I like Dampier. He was injured in the one game they lost, and it got really off the rails. Just to be blunt, BYU owns the mess out of Utah.
Like, as of right now, if Whittingham still has a little bit left in the bag, they win this game.
I hope they win this game. This is one where I'm rooting against myself.
I'm pulling for Utah. I picked Utah. Looking back on it, I think my pick was incorrect. I think I made the wrong pick. I think BYU wins this game. They're confident in who they are and what they are. They are rallying around Bear Bachmeyer. They love playing for that guy.
Yes.
Oh, 47 under center. So, I like BYU at home, but I did make Utah as the selection. What is the number we're getting in the contest? Do you happen to have?
Utah's a 3.5-point favorite, so we're getting BYU with the hook on the field goal.
Okay. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I hate my pick.
Yeah, I'm not confident in my BYU pick either, because I think Utah's better, but they own the Holy War. BYU does, so I guess we're going with BYU and the Cougars. I never root for BYU, just to be honest. So
I'd be rooting for Utah. I just don't like my pick.
Rooting for Utah as well. Oklahoma at South Carolina is our last game of this segment, and the last game in the contest that is not the Clemson matchup. And we don't have a ton to break down as far as, like, dispersion amongst the coworkers. It's 12-0 Oklahoma.
Really?
I'm worried because of that.
That does make me a little worried. I think the big keys for me here, Oklahoma front seven, very, very good. South Carolina offensive line, not very,
very
good. Brent Venables, very good at confusing quarterbacks into making poor decisions, whether that be running or throwing. Lenora Sellers takes very hilarious sacks this season in trying to one-man band this thing. I just don't know how South Carolina's going to be able to move the ball. On the other side, I don't think Oklahoma's going on the road here and putting up a ton of points, though. John Mateer made some horrible decisions last week against Texas. Yes, he shouldn't have played 2 weeks after the surgery, but to me, the hand wasn't the issue. It was what was going on between the ears that were the big problem. If Mateer doesn't clean that up, South Carolina could become a big problem for Brent Venables and staff. But I'm going to trust a man who worked here in this town, who employs a lot of people who worked here in this town, who employs some people that have Clemson University diplomas on his coaching staff, that are walking into Williams-Brice Stadium, and there's still a little bit of Clemson in you there, regardless if you're wearing the crimson and cream. These guys still want to beat South Carolina? Come on.
Yeah.
Boomer Sooner.
I'm taking Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner. I think they get the job done. I'll go 24-13 on the road down in Columbia. And on the other side of a quick break, we'll be giving you our Clemson picks, our game predictions, speed running through some of the NFL games and the college games we didn't get to. You're listening to Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyatt right here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Stick with us through our final break of the week.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE. Estes Heating and Air is here to keep your family cool in the summer and warm in the winter with premium Heil units, supercharged with 100 years of superior engineering and quality manufacturing. Estes is Clemson alumni owned and celebrating 26 years of serving Tiger fans across Oconee, Pickens, and Greater Greenville. Be sure to like their Facebook page for giveaways, promotions, and specials. That's ESTES Heating and Air on Facebook to win prizes and receive specials on HVAC services and installs to keep your family comfortable all year long with Heil units. Depend on them.
Whether you're having a football party or looking for a great place for lunch or dinner, stop by Reuben's Food, Sports, and Spirits and see why folks all over the upstate love them. From their weekday lunch specials to their mouth-watering wings, deep-fried ribs, and smoked Reuben sandwiches, Reuben's has it all. With live music, karaoke, and more, Reuben's is where you want to be. Open Monday through Saturday. Reuben's Food, Sports, and Spirits, 1083 South Batesville Road, Greer, and Powdersville on Highway 81.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Owners, listen up. Is your lawn struggling right now? Your friends at TopDressing.com have a solution for you. They will aerate, overseed, and they can top dress your fescue lawn. You see this on the golf course all the time, and TopDressing.com will do this for you. Book a free quote online at TopDressing.com or call 888-850-1850. Tell them you heard about it on The Roar and ask your TopDressing.com for their special online at TopDressing.com. Call 888-850-1850 as TopDressing.com.
Golf Cart Service is a family-owned and operated club car dealer for the past 55 years. If you are looking to purchase a new, used, or reconditioned cart, we have financing options available. Have an older cart? We take trade-ins toward your new purchase. Buy American and beat the tariffs. With our mobile service truck, we can maintain your club car, golf cart for years to come. Visit golfcartsc.com and view our inventory. We are located at the intersection of Highway 221 and Highway 295 in Spartanburg. Call us at 864-574-4616 today.
Roland Birdies is a premium mobile golf simulator experience. Perfect for weddings, birthdays, corporate events, backyard parties, and more. Whether you're a scratch golfer or just the king of the putt-putt course, we deliver fun, high-tech entertainment straight to your event. Rain or shine, indoors or outdoors, Roland Birdies brings the course to you. Book your event today at RolandBirdiesGolf.com. That's RolandBirdiesGolf.com. Roland Birdies Mobile Golf Simulator. Premium golf, anywhere you are.
Did you know you can get paid to increase your home's comfort and efficiency? Contact Koala Insulation to see how to increase comfort and lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Right now, you can also get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. The tax credits give homeowners 30% back in tax credits from their insulation upgrade, up to $1,200. But these tax incentives are expiring at the end of 2025 and will not return. Call Koala Insulation of Greenville at 864-867-1779 today to learn more.
At Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney, we carry Western and workwear, as well as boots for men, women, and children. We also carry clothes for tactical, fire retardant, nurses, hunting, shooting, and fishing gear and supplies. Looking for firearms or ammo, we have a large selection to choose from. Make Cherokee Outfitters your go-to store for everything outdoors. Visit us today at 370 Petroid Road, exit 90, on I-85.
If your loved one is no longer comfortable living in their own home due to memory loss or aging, Dominion Senior Living is here to help. At Dominion, outstanding physical, emotional, and spiritual care is the standard. The community offers a modern, comfortable place to call home while providing personalized care to meet specific needs. Honoring God through service to seniors, Dominion Senior Living promotes vitality with support when needed. Visit DominionSeniorLiving.com for more information.
If you've been charged with a criminal offense, the legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating.
You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Tigers for Tatas. Text T4T to 53555 for an easy way to donate. With your help, we can make a difference.
We welcome you back in, everybody. It's the final segment of the show here on a Friday with Faxon and John on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. If you'd like to beat the buzzer, 654-ROAR is the number, and headed to the phone lines immediately here in the final segment of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. We have Tennessee Tiger on hold, and if you want to get in between now and the top of the hour and get your take, score predictions, anything about Clemson football or games this weekend, 654-ROAR if you want to be in like Tennessee Tiger and beat the buzzer. Tennessee Tiger, how you doing this morning?
Hi, John. I thought I'd get in about Kay possibly not playing.
Yes, sir.
But here's what I think. Because Clemson's at home, that's 7 points. Because Wes Goodman's not on the defense, that's 14 points. And because Tom Allen at Penn State, you know, they played last year, that's still 7 points. But here's the main thing about Cade. This is what it's took for Cade to have a hurt ankle if he plays, that he can't run around in the pocket now and circle back. He has to stand in the pocket and move laterally back and forth and make quick decisions. So hopefully he plays, and maybe that's, you know, that's what he'll do.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a chance that he plays tomorrow. And game-time decision and true game-time decision is kind of the approach that I'm taking to this, right, in relation to quarterback Cade Klubnik's status. But even if, hypothetically speaking, he is able to give it a go, and he's able to, as you're kind of saying, play a limited brand of football in the pocket, my main concern is planting and driving the ball. Like, Cade's arm strength is not a strength already, and a lot of your strength when you're throwing the football is coming from your lower body and your footwork and your mechanics. And for a guy that's already had some mechanical issues, I don't love the idea of playing on a severely injured ankle within the pocket. Like, I think Cade playing tomorrow could be something that could be a pretty big negative if he does give it a go.
Well, listen, I agree with that, and that's another thing that Cade does that hasn't been corrected since he's in high school, is he throws off his back foot instead of stepping into the pass, and that's why his passes sail high or he misses those open targets. Because he tries to do like an Aaron Rodgers or a Mahomes and just, you know, just use his arm.
You know,
it's like the pitcher on the mound, he has to push off, and Kay had been corrected on that.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think when his mechanics go awry, that's one of the first things I notice, Tennessee Tiger, is the fact that he doesn't really plant and drive the ball down the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Tennessee Tiger, thank you so much for getting in this morning, sir.
All right.
Have a great weekend. Yeah. You know, Tennessee Tiger said something there, and I want to get your opinion on this. We only got a few minutes left of the program, but we can take 2 or 3 minutes to talk this out. I completely forgot about the fact, maybe I've just been so focused on the Clemson angle of everything going into this game, that Tom Allen called an incredible game against this unit in the college football playoff at Penn State up there in Happy Valley last year. Now, yes, it was like negative 12 degrees, and you were playing in front of 100-something thousand people. But what do you think Coach Allen can take from his experience calling a game against this team into this spot?
Yeah, I think there's a lot you can take from it, and I think there's a lot where
you think that helps Clemson out? When you're a little handcuffed going in here with your regardless whether he plays or not, your quarterback position is limited.
Yes.
I think that's just, we're going to say a limited quarterback position going into this. Does that help that Tom Allen has, to the phrase you like to use a lot, see the ball go through the hoop against this opponent.
I think it helps a lot, and I think that when you have tape and you have coachable things to look back on, and you were the ones coaching that unit last year, which Tom Allen was, and his son was part of that staff as well up in Happy Valley, having that continuity and also the fact that it's not out of sight, out of mind yet, right? Like, you played these guys like 8 months ago, so the game plan is still relatively fresh in your mind. There's still some level of comfortability, at least to what you're preparing against and what you're preparing for. So I'm excited for the opportunity for Tom Allen, because to put it bluntly, they clamped the living daylights out of SMU last year in Happy Valley. That was blowout city in a college football playoff setting. Let's head back to the phones.
Yeah, we got two more in here on hold who want to talk Clemson. First, we're going to head over to Mike in Simpsonville. Mike, how you doing this morning?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you for getting in.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for having me. Just a couple quick comments. I think the ACC in general in football is looking very much up now with Miami, Louisville, Duke, Clemson. I think Florida State's a fraud. But I do think that this game's going to be closer than what people think tomorrow, simply because the last two games that Clemson's played, they weren't really challenges to them. And I think Klubnik needs to play and be Klubnik to win this ballgame. I really do. What's your thoughts on that? Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you checking in with us, Mike. And it's going to be intriguing. I'll go ahead and say this. I think tomorrow is going to be an uber-competitive game, regardless of who is playing quarterback, and I think this is one that's going to go down to the wire, which is why I took SMU plus 9.5 in the contest, John.
Same here.
I think even if Cade plays, some of the physical limitations that could be imposed on QB1 in that hypothetical are not going to benefit Clemson in a lot of ways. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, well, now Cade can't run, and now he's got to stay in the pocket. Yeah, you're going to see really quickly that this clean pocket narrative for the first five games of the season was a load of garbage, because it's just not true. If Cade Klubnik can't move outside the pocket, and you're going to see him get sacked six or seven times if Cade Klubnik's the quarterback tomorrow and can't move outside the pocket. That's just
if it starts trending to six or seven sacks, he's not going to stay in the game.
Yeah, he might get pulled from the game at that point.
And that, to me, that's not even a benching. That's like, all right, you physically can't get it done today.
Yes.
We're going to bring in somebody who can at least physically get the job done.
The closer we get to game time, the more and more on board I am with giving Vezina the look and maybe having Pierman as kind of the bailout card in the back pocket, if you will. I think a limited Cade Klubnik against an SMU defensive front who makes their hay on getting to the quarterback and sacking the quarterback spells disaster for Clemson tomorrow. I'm excited to see what CV's got if that's the route they elect to go. Let's take another phone call.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all getting in. 654 Roar, if you want to get in, better late than never. Now we have Gervonta checking in. Gamecock James on hold. Gervonta, how you doing this morning? Appreciate you getting in.
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing?
Doing great, Gervonta. Well. How are you?
Doing good. I just want to ask a question. If Cade can't go, just a quick question. How far are we into, could he have a medical red shirt? That thing don't get healed up? Just ask me. What's the possibility on that?
He's played in four games already, and that's kind of the hard cutoff, Gervonta, even in the medical redshirt world. This is Cade's last year of eligibility. The 5-5 waiver has been nixed as well, by the way. That came out yesterday from Ross Dellinger. So this is Cade Klubnik's last season at Clemson playing quarterback.
Thank you for getting in, Gervonta. And really quick, now I want to head over to Gamecock James. I want to squeeze in all these phone calls in before the top of the hour. James, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I wanted to get in my prediction for tomorrow for the South Carolina-Oklahoma game. I think the Gamecocks get it done. I don't know what it is. Just got this feeling about what they did last year, the last six games. I think even though their offensive line is so bad, I think they'll do enough running, and Sellers will do enough to pull the upset 28-24.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see.
I like that. If they get to 28 points against the Oklahoma defense, I'd be surprised. But, hey, Beamer ball can get you there. You can get a couple punt returns.
Yeah.
You can maybe get a defensive touchdown and find a way to get in the end zone that way.
That's another thing. I think we'll see some Beamer ball strike tomorrow, either a scoop and score, interception, punt return. I think we'll see something. If they can get one of those, they'll be in good shape, I think. So, but we'll see, you know.
We will see, and time will tell, as it always does. James, appreciate you checking in, and best of luck to your Gamecocks tomorrow.
Bye.
Thank you, James.
I understand if you're a South Carolina fan and you're predicting your team to pull it off. I understand James' logic and reasoning there. I think you need to be like, hey, just find a way to get it done. Because at the end of the day, a lot of times in football, it's just in real time finding a way to get it done. And so I think the path that he laid out is, you know, the right mindset if you want to view a Gamecock win here Saturday afternoon. I think Beamer Ball has to be in play.
Yeah.
It's in Williams-Brice, so Beamer Ball will be in play.
You have the best player on the field, and you have an innate ability to turn your opponent over and score in the special teams game. Like, that's – you have a chance in every game. I never completely discount South Carolina because of the Sellers factor and because of the Beamer Ball factor. It's just been a rough year, man. It's been a rough year. Maybe Elliott can turn things around on the offensive line because Lord knows they need some help there right now, and so does Sellers. People keep killing Sellers. Again, if you're taking tape from this year and trying to make pro evaluations on Lenora Sellers, you're wasting everybody's time because there's nothing there that you can translate.
But the thing, I think I agree with you, but the problem I'm having with him this year is, yes, the offensive line is bad, but it's what he's doing while knowing that the offensive line is bad is really giving me pause about all the top 10 draft selection, the kind of stuff we talked about in the preseason. Because sometimes I feel like he needs to either just get down or get rid of the football, and they're trying to outspin somebody and running 9 yards backwards and then taking the sack. Like, I can generate some offense at 2nd and 12, but I have a really difficult time generating offense at 2nd and 19. And he puts them in that situation way too much for my liking this season.
He's got the Shadur quality of taking massive negative plays, which is definitely a bad thing. Again, those two did have terrible offensive lines,
sure.
So I think there's like a hero ball factor where it's like they want it so bad that they're trying to create, even if it's not the smart decision at
sure.
times. Sellers can't take those negative plays against an OU defense that's going to live in the backfield tomorrow. I know that much. So step up in the pocket and make a 9-yard loss, a 2-yard loss, and live with it. That would be my advice for Sellers moving forward. Texter gets in and says Clemson needs to line up in 12 personnel, put a full backpack run back there, and just run the ball straight at SMU. You try and work the clock and throw the ball over the field like they've been doing, they'll get beat. I want to see.
Can we find a year of eligibility for Chad Deal somewhere? We're going to get him to come back, get all 30 back in the backfield?
Man, I want to run 12 personnel so much more than Clemson currently runs it. It's definitely been a big ask of mine for years now.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it's ever going
to
happen.
It's also tough because you can only get 11 on the field, right? And you still need to get 5 offensive linemen, and you still have to put a running back out there.
You do.
It's just difficult when you have this many wide receivers.
I get it.
Because, like, as much as I love 12 personnel, and I do, I think you have 3 tight ends who can execute it, and especially if you're trying to block, I think OPH and Betancourt, that's very good blocking use of 12 personnel. But the issue I have, though, is if you're trying to set up anything in the passing game out of it, who are you taking off of the field?
And I would take TJ off the field.
For this game specifically, I would probably tend to agree with you, but I think right now it's a good problem to have. You have too many mouths to feed. We're trying to find space to get Tristan Smith more involved in the offense.
Yeah.
But yet you still have to get Antonio Williams his. You have to get Bryant Wesco his, because statistically he's one of, what, the 5-6 best receivers in the country?
He is.
So, like, I think this is a difficult thing, that it's to get everybody fed, to keep everybody involved and engaged. And to me, I take more of a game-by-game approach with that.
Yeah.
Like, would I like to see more of it from a general standpoint? Yes, I would. But if against a given opponent, like this opponent here, if I'm truly trying to pass it, as bad as that pass defense is, I wouldn't go as much 12 personnel as maybe I would against Duke.
Yeah.
Maybe as I would against Florida State.
It's going to be intriguing to see what they elect to do from a personnel standpoint tomorrow. If the offense is different with Christopher Vezina, how much different the offense is with Christopher Vezina in the fray, what's the play calling going to be like? Are you micromanaging down in distance? Do you want to get more running backs involved? Do you want to go more 12 personnel? Maybe you want to go 13. Get all 3 of them on the field and play some jumbo football. Maybe we see Peter Woods.
Woods Wildcat.
And listen, I'll say this because I haven't said it throughout the course of this week, and maybe it just hasn't registered. There is something to be said about the fact that there is little to no tape on Christopher Vezina.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's no way for SMU to prepare for him in this game.
What is their pass defense ranked again?
It's 131st in America.
Out of how many?
136 teams.
I think that's a pretty good opponent to have when you have zero tape on a quarterback, and most of what you have is him taking the ball and trying to run between the guard and the tackle.
I want to see play action. Do you guys remember last year? My favorite play call of the entire Garrett Riley tenure is an incomplete pass, and it is at Florida State last year where Cade Klubnik got his helmet knocked off and Vezina had to come in for one play, and Garrett Riley went play action and chucked a deep ball for the end zone. And Vezina put the ball in the money, in all fairness. I think they drew a PI flag, if I'm not mistaken. But that's an element of the game where I know the staff is high on CV's ability to throw the deep ball, especially the fade to the outside. He's got to get that ball up compared to what we've seen the last couple weeks to give his receivers a better chance to make plays. But don't be surprised if you see a little lull them to death and we're going to run it here and quick passing game here, and then they turn CV and Wesco loose and try and take a shot over the top like they did last year in Tallahassee?
We both took SMU to cover the number in the contest. What is your score prediction?
I'm going to make my score prediction with the projection of Christopher Vezina playing quarterback for Clemson, and I'm going to say 24-23 Clemson over SMU. I think SMU goes for two on the last play of the game and doesn't get it.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
I am going to say 24-21 Clemson. Okay. I think a Nolan Hoosier field goal gets the job done. I think 24-21 is going to be the score.
I
do think that Nolan Hoosier, I think it would just be fun to watch him put one through against SMU to be the clincher one more time, because it was really fun last time, so let's do it again. We have less than a minute here, and the way that you have talked this season, we cannot get out of here without you giving a take on this. Your quarterback, Carson Wentz, against your team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Who comes out and wins on Sunday?
Yeah, I hope Wentz walks him down. Go Vikings. I'm not rooting for the Eagles. In the current state of the Eagles, I'm rooting against my team this weekend because there needs to be a change and there needs to be a midseason firing of the offensive coordinator and Kevin Petullo. And the Eagles are not capable of winning the Super Bowl, regardless of what the roster looks like with the current coaching infrastructure. Walk him down, Wentz. Get the win this weekend and get Kevin Petullo fired.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
That's about as good of a note to end the show on for the week as we can.
Please don't lose to the Jets, Panthers. They're looking to be above 500 for the first time in, I want to say, almost 4 years, John, and the Carolina Panthers trying to move to 4-3 this weekend.
Wow.
So those are too many nuggets on the NFL because we didn't get to it today. Thanks, everybody, that has so generously donated this week to the Tigers for Tata's campaign. We're passing things off to William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead with Out of Bounds. See you next week, and go Tigers.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best